And I think the biggest thing is it goes back to that. This isn't rocket science. Many people have been creating wealth for themselves for many, many years. It's not a difficult concept. It's more of how you perceive risk. And if you're well and good sitting on the fence and you want to stay there, then fine. But don't complain in 50 years' time if nothing changes in your life and you wonder why.
You are listening to Hooked on Startups, where every week you'll hear from some of the most talented, inspiring, and successful entrepreneurs who share their real life stories, how they overcame challenges and failures, and how they mastered success. Get ready for some of the best business tips, tricks and tactics, and some frank, unscripted discussions. Here's your host, Matthew Sullivan.
So I'm joined today by Reed Goossens. And now I've got your press pack here, which I'm very impressed at the fact that you have a press pack. But at the top of the press pack, it says, and this is something that I will obviously copy, but it says at the top, real estate investor, host of Investing in the US podcast, an all-round good bloke. I mean, the rest of it is just spurious, presumably. I mean, why do you need the rest?
Exactly. How's it going, Matthew? Thanks for having me on the show.
It's a pleasure having you on, Reed. I mean, Reed, you're originally from Australia. So let me just give everyone a quick roundup. So you moved to the US in 2012. So that's, 5 years ago to pursue a career in structural engineering. But it sounds like you discovered a real passion for real estate investing. And I think this is the best bit. So no money, no credit. However, you managed to purchase a small duplex, and now you've got your own real estate investing firm. You syndicate large multi-million dollar deals. You're a successful entrepreneur. You're the host of this fabulous podcast, which is called Investing in the US, an Oz's Guide to US Real Estate. And you've got a whole bunch of other podcast hosts who've invited you on their show. So obviously you're making a real impact. And it sounds like you're having fun. So which bit did I miss?
You didn't miss a lot, mate. As I said, thanks for having me on the show. Awesome show that you're doing, by the way. Hooked on Startups. I'm pretty excited for you to get up and running. But I moved to the United States essentially for love, because my two forms of love, one was my fiance or my girlfriend at the time. The second one was for New York City. I love New York City. So that's the real reason I'm in the States for two forms of love. And I just happened to stumble across real estate. So, yeah.
You're the second person I've interviewed that said, well, it was a girl that brought me here. So there is, that's why they write songs about this sort of stuff.
Exactly. Are the Australian boys or international guys taking the American women, right?
But I think it goes back, decades and centuries. So tell me more about what you're doing now in the real estate side. So this career as a structural engineer, how has that developed? How did you become what you are today?
Right. Well, so good question. Rewinding all the way back to 2008, 2009, I had actually, the whole bug started back then, and I picked up that book, Rich Dad Poor Dad. I'm sure a lot of your listeners have heard of that book, probably read it.
Yeah.
And that was the book that really sort of ignited the fire within. I just returned from a couple of years overseas working in the London 2012 Olympic Games as a structural engineer. I backpacked through New York, fell in love with New York, but was back in Australia, subsequently sitting at a desk in a cubicle, and it was just, I didn't subscribe to that. That next 50 years of my life, I'm going to be sitting here from 9 to 5 and answering to a boss. So it really started back in 2008, 2009 when I picked up that book. And that has, fast forward all these years, I'm now started my own business and have moved halfway across the world to pursue that. But the thing that I didn't really subscribe to was that, why do I need to be doing this for the next 40 years of my life in terms of quote unquote a career and working for someone else?
Yeah, but reading a book, even though Rich Dad Poor Dad is a great book, that doesn't do it. That doesn't propel you into a career as a real estate investor in California. I mean, there's a bit that you mean.
Right. Yeah. I'll fill you in. And so when I moved to the States end of 2011, early 2012, hit the ground running, didn't have a job. We just decided to move. but I had previously been educating myself for the last 2 years on real estate investing. And prior to moving to the United States, I was going to pull the trigger on something in Australia, whether it be a flip or, you know, I was learning a lot or self-educating myself in Aussie about the Australian real estate market. Still had a love for New York, still wanted to move here, moved here without a job, found a job pretty quickly by just walking the streets, and then was soon thereafter that was, you know, at the local real estate networking events. And, you know, as I said to a lot of people, by gosh, I thought Australia had a lot of, you know, great networking events. New York was on steroids. Wonderful. And, you know, I had to sort of really up my game. And over the course of the first 18 months, I had purchased my first duplex, as you described in the introduction, for essentially with all my own cash because I couldn't leverage any money at the time. So that's how I got started. And then, you know, obviously we'll go into how I scaled it.
But the point you bring up, though, is critical. It's about education. So, you know, let's rewind the clock a little bit more. You're sitting at your desk. You're thinking, this is just not me. And I think a lot of people think, oh, I wish I could have my own business. But they never do anything about it. So they just sit there. And then 50 years comes and goes. And then they're full of regrets and unfulfilled promises and all the stuff that we all know and love. But what was that point? What moment was there? Or what decision did you make to actually start yourself on the road of becoming what you are, you know, this sort of self-motivated, highly driven, successful, you know, real estate entrepreneur? And in addition to that, that the other pressures of moving country, you know, and so let's rewind to that one point, you know, what was it, do you think, that propelled you?
Yeah, I think it was... Yeah, look, good, really good question. I think it was a combination of a few things. And it was that I'm naturally a driven person, for one. Two was the fact that I didn't want to grow up and have regret. Like someone told me one time, go stand in a nursing home and look deep into the eyes of the people in there and see the regret that they didn't take action and they sat on the fence for their entire life or whatever it might be. I'm more afraid of waking up in 50 years' time thinking, what if I'd had a crack at that? Where would I be right now?
Yeah.
Then failing at the thing that I'm trying to pursue. So the real thing was like, well, the alternative of not doing anything wasn't the answer. I just knew that, like, full stop. Like, oh, I could go out and give it a crack, or I could just sit here and do nothing. And sitting here and do nothing is the answer. So I'm going to go and do it, give it a crack. So just get up and do it. And whatever it took, you know, whether you surround yourself, I just knew sort of the fundamentals. Like, I need to surround myself with like-minded people. Okay, let's just do that. Let's start there. And I did that. And then from there, it sort of snowballed.
And I think that's the hardest thing, isn't it? Going from zero to one is the biggest step. And I think once you've got that momentum, was there a decision just to pack your bag and go to the States or to?
Yeah, well, that decision came about purely on the fact of that it was a common, like, I still had this yearning desire to live overseas, and I loved being an expat. And, you know, my fiance or my girlfriend at the time, who now is my fiance, wanted to move back to the United States. And we just said, look, we're 26 or whatever, how old we were, 27. And we just said, screw it, you know, let's just give it a crack. And we did it.
And I think, I mean, the reason I'm asking this is because I can imagine that there are so many people out there in the same sort of position where they know in their heart of hearts that this is not for them. In other words, this job. And I remember that feeling as well, where you just know that this is not for me. This is not my destiny. But it's just trying to find, you know, what is the first step. And in many cases, you just, you know, like any true entrepreneur, you jump in feet first. But you mentioned earlier about surrounding yourself with like-minded people. So would that be the first step, do you think? So if we're talking about advice now, so imagine you're talking to someone who says, look, you know, I have the same feeling that you had, and, you know, what would your suggestion be for the first step?
Yeah, I think the biggest question is, like, I have this feeling, but I don't know where I need to put my energy, right? What direction do I shoot? And you may shoot in a few different directions before you find your calling or whatever that might be. Definitely the fact that I had experience, you know, backpacking across the world, getting different jobs, having the life experience, that really helped me in terms of coming back and thinking, okay, what do I need to focus on in terms of an entrepreneur? Then once I sort of said, okay, well, I want to do something with my life. I want to get paid for living my life. Okay, how do I do that? Okay, I need to get my money working for me. Okay, how do I get my money working? Can I invest in something? Okay, what can I invest in? I can invest in, you know, stocks, I can invest in businesses, or I can invest in real estate. I'm an engineer. I surround myself with developers and all that day in, day out, but I never knew what they did, yeah. You know, from a business point of view. So I said, okay, well, let's give real estate a crack. And from there, that was where, you know, passive income came about, and, you know, or, you know, learning about passive income, I should say.
Yes.
And then all of a sudden you start scratching the surface there and think, okay, well, who else out there at the time when I first discovered this was in Brisbane in Australia before I moved to the United States. And, you know, okay, went on Meetup, found a group. Okay, let's go check this out. What's this all about? Okay, well, it's interesting. Oh, boy. And then all of a sudden, 6 months later, you're hooked on this real estate thing, and all you're doing is growing your network consistently. And that was really, really key, because I was surrounding myself with other people who, like myself, wanted to make change in their life, create financial freedom, and essentially be their own boss.
You're right. And I think that surrounding yourself, so there's another point here. So A, it's doing something. So rather than just so it's having the courage. And I think courage is really what it is, because you are leaping into the unknown, particularly if you don't have, you know, a huge amount of capital behind you, and having the courage to make an investment in a market that is not necessarily a market that you're very familiar with. But I think only by doing do you learn. But so let's explore the networking, because when you come to a foreign country, the one thing that you tend to leave behind is your network, and your network is immensely valuable. So what sort of challenges did you have in building your network, and how did you go about meeting people that were going to be useful to you rather than just being time wasters?
Right. I think you're always going to find time wasters. It's the abundance mindset to think, okay, I need to get to as many different networking events as possible. I've always subscribed to the fact that your net worth is a direct correlation to your network. So you're right. I came to the United States. I didn't go to school here. I didn't go to high school here. None of my family here. I was fresh off the boat as they come. So it was just about hustle, 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 grind, grind, grind. Obviously, I've spent a lot of time going to maybe some events that I probably wasted my time, but it's good that you did that, because, you know, I wouldn't be here where I am today. Another thing I did, which was really influential, was I started my own real estate networking event here in Los Angeles when I moved to LA, because I wanted to be that key person of influence where people would look at me, Reed Goosens, and say, okay, I trust him and I know what he's talking about and he's an educated guy. And I created that platform, because if you create that platform, you're immediately at the center of attention, and people are going to then, you know, gravitate to you and listen to what you have to say. And maybe that can relate, open more doors in terms of business, in terms of other relationships, in terms of capital raising. So it was sort of, I went for a couple of years without doing that, you know, just going to different networking events. And then I said, well, screw it, I'll start one here myself. And now I have, and that's grown, and it's become a really awesome platform. And then for, you know, I've grown my own podcast. Again, it's another platform I'm creating to be a thought leader. And I think all these things as entrepreneurs lead to creating that funnel to help fuel your business, whatever that might be. So I hope that answers your question.
No, it does. And these are really fabulous points that you're making. And I want to explore them, because each one of those is a topic, is a lecture in its own right, or, you know, is an
education. Exactly.
In its own right. But the most important thing that you mentioned there is hustle and grind. Because if an entrepreneur thinks that going from a desk job to running their own business is a simple transition, would you agree with that, or would you say that they're in a bit of a shock? You know, I asked that question knowing the answer, as you can imagine.
Yeah, I love you on my show, and I think we talked about how many businesses you've started and what has been successful, what hasn't. I think at the end of the day, grind is an understatement. Particularly when you're balancing a full-time job, you've got a side hustle, you go to these lectures and they say, oh, you know, and I'm talking about real estate, but whatever, you insert business idea here, whatever lecture that might be or conference you go to, you can do all this and create passive income and blah, 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 and it's really quick and easy. And there may be that 0.001% person who actually does it, you know, in a short period of time. But the majority of us have to keep the bills paid. So you've got to keep working for a long period of time. And the biggest thing that I didn't realize when I first started out, and I'm, you know, I dive off this if you feel the topic, is setting the right mindset at the front end. I was very much subscribing to, oh, okay, I can do this very quickly, and I'm going to be able to, you know, be my own boss within a certain period of time. It actually took like three times as long as what I originally thought. So I thought, okay, it's going to be done in 12 months. Well, it actually took a bit over 3.5 years before that actually really started. And it's only recently that I'm starting to although they did break out of the rat race and start doing it full time. So the idea that you're going to do it quickly is an understatement, and grinding is an understatement. Even once you do immerse yourself full time, you're still answering questions on the weekend. You're responsible for your own income now. It's very like, you know, your back's against the wall, but when it is against the wall, you sometimes realize how vigilant you are in terms of getting things done and hustling. Yes. And making sure you answer that email and you pick up that phone call and you do what is needed to get done, because now you're the breadwinner and you can't rely on a paycheck coming in each and every month.
Yeah, and I think that idea about metaphorically burning your boats is critical to commitment and success. So in other words, if you go into something half-hearted or thinking that you've got a parachute, then I think that probably means that you may not be as committed. So there are so many different moving parts. One thing that one of my other guests, Murray Newlands, mentioned, which I thought was really useful, was if you're in a job, rather than just leaping into the great unknown, try and take on some additional responsibility within your work environment that almost prepares for the transition to working for yourself. Is that something that you would agree with?
Yeah, I do, and I could create a consulting business out of my own business now, because that is just part and parcel of having different facets of income coming in, whether it be the real estate investments or through my own conferences or through, you know, consulting. And you find ways to add value to other businesses, maybe from past skills that you've established, right? Like over so many, the better part of a decade in structural engineering, I've got skills that someone can, you know, call upon, and they can pay me those good skills, but I'm still working for my skills. I'm still creating my own schedule. And I think it goes back to what the gentleman said on your show, is that if you can get some training in your day job to prepare you to maybe be, just have the skills that you could use in your own business to help other businesses and get paid for that, then hey, that's not a bad tool in your belt either, is it? So it equates to, you know, having that different forms of income coming in to create that freedom.
But I think that the one of the other changes as well is the idea that you're in the spotlight now. So you are the boss. Mm-hmm. There's no one else that you can rely on. And if you're going to make a success of this, then you live or die by your own actions. So you talked about
exactly
becoming a key person of influence. Mm-hmm. And so is that something that you knew from the beginning, or is that something that you learned as being a critical part of your transition to being responsible for your own future?
Yeah, no, definitely something I had no idea about. Like I was like a baby fawn walking into the wilderness. I had no idea what I was doing. Yes. And it's through being open-minded, it is through being, you know, going to different conferences and taking on advice from different people. And I've always been very good at, ever since I was young, I always like I look at something, it better be a toy car or something, I take it apart, figure out how it worked and put it back together again. I've always had that inquisitive knowledge, like, how did you get to what you're doing by doing this media stuff or whatever it might be? And I know you and I have talked a little bit offline about this particular point, but being a key person of influence, it sort of all this started to make sense. And I was like, oh, that makes so much sense. You know, like you be a key person of influence in maybe your own sphere, maybe not, you know, you don't have to be the Oprah Winfrey's or the big names, but if you're a key person of influence in your own sphere, in whatever you're doing in terms of being an entrepreneur, whether it be, you know, a startup in tech, or whether it be, you know, whatever you go out and start your own food catering business, whatever it might be, you're going to hopefully with your friends and family become that key person of influence in your small sphere. And that there is going to create influence amongst others. You're going to drive more business to you because you are taking yourself seriously. You may, you know, have a website, you may, you know, launch some videos or a podcast or a book. And that all creates that key person of influence. And then it goes back to that funnel that I was talking about before, which I had no idea. And I'm consistently learning all the time, but it does help, you know, as I said, any business, insert business here. So as I say.
Okay. But in real terms, so the net effect of that is that mm-hmm. you've been able to raise money based on creating credibility within a marketplace.
Yep.
So you've gone from being you're playing a role within I wouldn't say limited, but within a particular niche in the industry, which is structural engineering, to being a much more of a generalist and having to deal with many more moving parts. So your business is about putting other people's money to work so that they get a passive income. And
correct.
So the net effect of all these things that we've been talking about, you know, key person of influence, hustle and grind, putting your people, putting yourself within a pool of people who are like-minded. The effect of that is you have been able to raise money from people, significant sums of money, and put that to work.
Correct.
So it works, in other words. So this is not something where we're still at the theory stage.
Right. No, exactly. And to answer that question, it's also so, okay, like, well, how did you get people to trust you or create credibility? Well, it was through the platforms like creating a networking event. It was through educating people about what I do. And that, again, goes back to that key person of influence. Within any business leader, it's their responsibility to educate others about what the business it is that they do. My business is that I raise capital from other people and put into large multifamily or commercial real estate. You may have another business that you need to educate others on, to then persuade them that you are credible and that you deserve their business or whatever it might be. And that is your responsibility as a leader of your company, because if no one knows about you, you're not going to drive any business, you know, to your website or to your, you know, brick and mortar store or whatever it might be in terms of being an entrepreneur. I hope that.
Yeah, no, you're right. That's perfectly. And I think what happens is, as when you step into the universe, entrepreneur means so many different things. It's a parallel universe to being employed, because with it comes, you know, credibility, responsibility, and your world opens up, because there are so many more things that have become available to you, but also your responsibility increases. So your right. responsibility to your investors is there, but because of the trust that you build, it allows you to grow that business.
Exactly.
And I think that's one thing that we need to take into account, is that most entrepreneurs will start a small business. They won't, you know, statistically, they will not raise the tens of millions of dollars that we read about in the press. You know, that is one in a, I don't know what the figure is, but it's not very many of these businesses are able to get off the ground and raise significant capital. So most small businesses start very small with a few hundred dollars or a few thousand dollars from friends and family, and they build it through blood, sweat, and tears. But the most important thing, I think, is that when you're dealing with people, you're doing something that affects other people. So you have to have that in mind, that your business, you know, you're there to try and bring a solution to other people.
Exactly.
And I think if you bear that in mind, and do you find that the people that you met, these people within your circle, do they share that same feeling of abundance? Is that the thing that drives these people?
Yeah, look, in the world of investing, the pinch point or the sore spot for investors is obviously good returns with low risk, and they want it all at once, right? But they're not willing to go out and find those deals, and they're just, you know, chugging along investing in the stock market or whatever they've been told to invest in. So changing that mindset's pretty tough. And talk about abundance. Some people I meet, yes, you know, they're all drinking the Kool-Aid, and they know exactly what I'm talking about. They say, yeah, where can I invest? And other people, it takes a lot longer. I prefer to work with the people who know what I'm talking about and, you know, have a hunger for real estate investing, because that makes my job a lot easier. Trying to consistently educate people about, you know, from what, you know, what's the cap rate and, you know, what does multifamily mean? That's sort of, I'm not at that stage anymore, but I definitely was at one stage, and to try and persuade them to then, you know, invest their money. And it's funny that the smaller investors are more difficult than the larger investors, but we won't get into why that is.
But you can understand why. It's probably because they're talking about investing. To them, their small amount is massively meaningful. But that's what I mean about the responsibility. So that comes with the growth. But so, outside of real estate, do you see real estate as being your only pathway, because you're involved in, you know, the podcasts and building a personal brand? Do you see, you know, where do you see your, not future, but, you know, what are you most excited about in terms of where you think
you're going? No, I think that's a very good question. And it's funny that you start with real estate, because it's a great way, but you learn through that how to value businesses. And now other investment opportunities are opened, and it's not all about real estate, and it's not all about, you know, in commercial real estate in the United States in the last 7 to 8 years, we can, you know, particularly multifamily, you could argue that it's been the best time in multifamily history to buy multifamily. So it's not always going to be like that moving forward. And I think as, again, as a business leader, you need to be consistently evolving into what, you know, as a business leader of an investment firm, you need to be consistently evolving into what other forms or, you know, legs of the table you need to support your business, what other income streams. And that may be either different sorts of real estate or different businesses that I invest in. And again, it goes back to understanding the business model. And if you're valuing a product or a service or something that is that someone can then value and you can go and then you can, you know, force that value or create more cash flow or whatever that might be, then that there is still the same thing as what I'm doing with my multifamily, that I go in there and I change the value. So different, you know, my mind was originally on real estate, but now I'm broadening it up and understanding how I can create other forms of income through media, through other different, just, you know, businesses and changing their net operating income and again, having the same net effect. Yes. That it creates income for me and my business.
And how, talking about the meetup group, because the meetup group is almost like the stepping stone into this, into launching yourself. I mean, was that useful for you? Would you do that again?
Yeah, look, the meetup group is definitely something, it was a learning curve and some things work and some things don't. You've obviously been to a few of my networking events. The idea is there, but you can tend to attract a certain type of investor. I think there's other things that really did work, like the educational bus tours that we do. They're very, very, you know, helpful and key because people are paying, you know, parting ways with, you know, maybe $100, which is not, you know, it's still $100. Exactly. And but for that, they get a really awesome day of, you know, education. But because they're investing in it, they're more likely to take it seriously. Yeah. And that there has changed my mindset on quote unquote products and how you value your products that you give. Again, part and parcel of having tools in your belt is that I don't always just rely on my investors to invest in hard assets. I also may invest in some of the educational stuff that I put out there. Yes. And if I put it out there for free, then people aren't going to value it. But if I put it out there with a price on it, then they take it more seriously. And it's another way of, you know, creating a small amount of income, but again, driving through the funnel and creating more potential investors or clients for my business.
Yeah, I mean, that's absolutely right. Now, I was going to say, you'll be surprised how much value is put on something. Look, because you have an ebook, so tell us a little bit about that and how you did that and how successful, how helpful that's been.
Yeah, look, the ebook is just a way to capture attention or just something to give out for free in terms of just a small tidbit of here's some free advice. It's quality advice, and people can then say, okay, well, I like what he said. I'm going to, you know, maybe follow up with a phone call and see what else he has to offer. Yes. And that has just opened a few more doors. The podcast obviously has opened a heap of doors and sure. There's another, I'm actually, through that content, I'm creating another book, which will be sold on Amazon. And that there will again be a, like an extension of my, my business card. And again, I had no idea all any of this existed, you know, 3-4 years ago.
That's down to this concept of having an open mind where, we're surrounded by people that have huge success doing this sort of thing. And it's so easy to go, you know, there's no way that I could do that. But I think what you're saying is that by taking these steps, one thing leads to another, you keep an open mind. And before you know it, you know, you're about to be a published author, you know, you're raising capital, you're creating this real momentum.
Right. And I think the biggest thing is it goes back to that. This isn't rocket science. Many people have been creating wealth for themselves for many, many years. It's not a difficult concept. It's more of how you perceive risk. And if you're well and good sitting on the fence and you want to stay there, then fine. But don't complain in 50 years' time if nothing changes in your life and you wonder why. I think the definition of insanity is doing the same thing every day and expecting a different result. So if you want a different result, get up and do something different. So that's definitely a philosophy I subscribe to.
No, which is absolutely great. I mean, that hits the nail on the head. Now, advice. If you were to give a piece of advice, what would it be?
In terms of a actionable step, we'll give two pieces of advice. In terms of, let's first talk of, you know, how do you go take action from today? You listen to today's show, you go, I want to take action. What do I do? Literally do what I said. Jump on Meetup. If you've got any interest in whatever the hell you do, whether it be baking cupcakes to starting a tech company, I'm sure there's a Meetup site somewhere that can accommodate your entrepreneurial desire. Get to that group or create the group yourself. And I bet you if you go to a group and you go there, you know, once every, you know, for the next 6 months, I bet you by the time you've gone there every month, you will change your mindset to a point where you're really willing to take more action. And that's really, really important. The second thing is a piece of advice is try and get a mentor. I think it's very, very important. You and I here, Matthew, are talking. We've been successful in our own right. But the thing is that having a mentor to show you the way is very, very key. And it has been very key to my success as well. So the two bits of advice, get out there, network with people, rub some shoulders. Second one is get a through that rubbing shoulders, try and get a mentor who can at least help you guide you part of the way.
Wow, these are two very absolutely bang on pieces of advice there. And Reid, it's been a pleasure having you on the show. How do people get in touch with you? How do they find out more about you?
Yeah, they can head to my website, which is rfnpropertygroup.com. And my actual personal website is coming soon, which is reidgoosens.com. There you can find out a little bit more about what I do. You can also download the ebook. And if you are ever in LA and you want to, always love meeting up with other entrepreneurs for a coffee or a beer, you can hit me up at reid@rsnpropertygroup.com and just let me know when you come through town.
Well, that's fabulous. That's great. Reid, it's been a pleasure. Can't wait to have you on the show again.
Thank you so much, mate. Have a good one.
Thank you. Well, this has been Hooked on Startups. I'm Matthew Sullivan, and see you next week.